Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 24th, 2012. Saints, the world is in turmoil, and most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. And if you feel that, folks, if you feel that you're right with Yeshua, and you have Yeshua in your heart, and you've got a personal relationship, then you start to need to look out to your family, because the only way that you're going to be saved or protected in this time of trouble is if you have a personal relationship. And so that extends to your family. You can't save your family. They have to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. So please make this a choice tonight to make sure that everyone in your family is indeed saved. If you need help after the program, call me and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or a message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, you can call my cell phone number, which is 316-619-4886. Remember, that phone number is 620-878-4682. And you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio programs, radio archives, and our mailing address at our blog. And that blog is prophecyhour.com. And of course, you got to put the www thing in front of it, but you can get all kinds of information there. Remember, either one works. You can get all the information you need at prophecyhour.com, or you can call me and get that same information. Anyway, now prayer, and we will be bringing on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Father God, I just pray that radio goes tonight according to your will and not mine. And please give everyone ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, folks, I don't know, do you follow WorldNet Daily? There was an article out last night let's go back up here a bit. There was an article out last night that said, and well, I'll just read you the headline. It says, Iran, discovery will collapse Christianity. Says Turkey's Bible has Barnabas forecasting Muhammad's coming. In chapter 41 of the Barnabas Gospel, I'm not going to say the Arabic names. I'm just going to skip to the statement. But anyway, this Arabic guy claims this statement. God has hidden himself as Archangel Michael and ran them, Adam and Eve, out of heaven. And when Adam turned, he noticed that at the top of the gateway to heaven, it was written, Allah is the only God and Muhammad is his prophet. Why does the mainstream Christianity ignore Islam? And that is the one that will bring forth the Antichrist. If you look to it all, well, it's just real clear. Our guest tonight is a foremost ambassador of Jesus Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, a husband, a father, committed to the pro-life and adoption movements. He is an artist, human rights activist, New York Times best-selling author, internationally recognized speaker, regular columnist for WorldNet Daily. He has a long history of outreach to the Muslim community and has a passion to see Muslims come to Messiah or Christ. Joel, Our guest is also a recognized expert on biblical prophecy in the Middle East. He is the author and co-author or co-editor of the following books: Mideast Beast, The Scriptural Case for an Islamic Antichrist, which we're going to talk about tonight, Islamic Antichrist, The Shocking Truth of the Real Nature of the Beast, God's War on Terror, Islam, Prophecy in the Bible, and Why We Left Muslims, Formal Muslims Speak Out. He has been also featured on or written for numerous radio, television, and news outlets across the world, including Glenn Beck Show and a whole list of other people. He's been on Sid Roth Show, a whole bunch of other ones. And you know what? I'm not going to just repeat all those. It's a waste of time because we need to just bring him out. So here we are to talk about his new book, The Mideast Beast, The Scriptural Case for the Antichrist. Welcome now, Joel Richardson. Are you there with us, Joel?
Yes, Pastor Dan. It's good to be with you again.
Yeah, amen. It's great to have you on, although my producer was a little shaky when I told him how we were going to do it, but I knew you'd be there, so I'm thankful for that. This new book, wait a minute, let me back up. What did you think? Did you hear about that WorldNet Daily article yesterday that came out?
Regarding the
Barnabas Scriptures?
Yeah, this is typical Muslim nonsense. Muslims have been trying to use the clearly spurious forged document known as the Gospel of Barnabas for years. Imagine, Pastor Dan, if all of a sudden Christians started claiming that we suddenly found a new chapter of the Quran, a new surah of the Quran. The problem is that it was not written in Arabic. It was written in Italian. And it wasn't discovered until a few hundred years ago. Really, that's what we're looking at with regard to the Gospel of Barnabas. It's
right.
It's a well-known forgery. What's interesting about it, though, is that you and I have talked a lot about Islamic end-time belief. One of the main traditions within Islamic end-time views is they teach that the Mahdi, that's their Messiah figure, that he will bring out, when he comes, he will bring out lost Gospels from the Bible, and it will prove the Bible to be wrong and that all Christians will convert. So the idea that they would suddenly find some new document and it would prove Christianity wrong, this is something that they've been hoping for centuries. But, of course, scientifically, theologically, it's really just a joke.
Yeah, well, that's the way I took it, absolutely. And I, for the record, I think Turkey has control of the book. I also noticed over here, this I want to ask you right first before we get into anything else. I also read on WorldNet Daily. I guess I'm a strong reader of WorldNet Daily, but they had an article talking about the Revolutionary Guards Arm, published a book called The Last 6 Months, in which it describes conditions needed in the last 6 months prior to the reappearance of the Islamic Messiah, and claim that it's been distributed by the hundreds of thousands to the guards. If this is true, doesn't this, reflect on and show that they're really, in their hearts, are getting ready right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me put it this way. The present regime in Iran, unlike any prior regime, has used this idea of the coming of the Mahdi, their Islamic Messiah figure, as a political tool. And so, in my opinion, they do believe it. On the other hand, I personally believe that much of it is they're trying to use the messianic hopes of the people to try to get them under their sway and on their side politically. And if you talk to a lot of Iranians, they say it's really transparent that it's a political ploy. On the other hand, when you do listen to Ahmadinejad and some of these guys, it's pretty clear that they are believers. So I don't mean to cast them as pure cynics, but they are using it to maintain power. And it's a frightening documentary, though. I've watched it, and the translation and so forth. They're calling on martyrs by the millions and so forth. Of course, the standard rhetoric. This is actually same thing that we're now hearing from the new who looks like he's going to be the new Egyptian president. Same
right.
thing, calling on Egyptians to die as martyrs by the millions as they march toward Jerusalem.
Well, I had a guest on not long ago that said, so as Egypt goes, so goes the rest of the Middle East. Is there any truth to that or statement?
Well, there's a bit of truth. truth. You know, of course, Syria is the next to go. It's just a matter of time before Bashar Assad falls. We're not sure how that's going to go down. You know, if it'll be a Libyan-style ouster, more likely he'll probably end up in exile in some other country. You know, again, we're not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But in Syria, as we see in Egypt, it's only a matter of time before the Muslim Brotherhood, the radicals, come to power and come to control that country. On the other hand, there are nations such as Turkey with their moderate Islamist government that will be able to maintain power. I think Jordan will be able to hold on quite a bit longer. But there are a few other nations that are really, you know, teetering, and, of course, Yemen has largely fallen to the Islamists as well. And, you know, they say as it goes Egypt, so goes the rest, but the fact of the matter is half of the Middle East has already fallen.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, and it, not to that wonderful democratic society that we were supposed to look forward to. Okay, I'll not laugh. Okay, anyway, let's go with this. Let's act like nobody out there has ever heard you talk about the Islamic Antichrist before. Take us into this book or the pretext of what we're talking about. But people are going, what are these guys talking about? They haven't a clue, so let's hear what, take us into it.
Okay. I'm actually going to tie it into something that I think a lot of people have heard about and are aware of, and that's, you know, Jonathan Cahn's book, The Harbinger. People have gone crazy about that, and I actually have not read the book, but I did watch the documentary, I think, which lays out, you know, his theological points.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the fascinating things that I found with Cahn's presentation is that essentially what he's saying is that you know, looking at Isaiah 9:10 and the pattern in history with the Assyrians coming against Israel, invading Israel, being used as a rod of chastisement by God against Israel, so also in these last days is the Lord using essentially the Assyrians as his rod of chastisement against America. And so through a series of attacks against our infrastructure and then our economy and so on and so forth, America is being warned of an impending judgment if we do not turn. Well, what's so fascinating about that is that Cahn draws out the fact, which is a fact that a lot of people have missed, is that the Lord did in fact use the Assyrians. And so when we look at this theme of the Assyrian throughout the entire book of Isaiah, as well as in the book of Micah, this is a repeated theme in the prophecies, in the prophets, which is that Messiah himself, Yeshua, Jesus, in the last days, he will actually engage in battle when he returns against the Assyrian, and again,
right,
repeatedly referred to as the Assyrian. Well, of course, theologians from the earliest days, you know, in the early church, Hippolytus, Lactantius, Jerome, actually the oldest commentary on the book of Revelation that we have by this guy named Victorinus, they all refer to the Assyrian as the Antichrist, and they refer to the Antichrist as coming from the Middle East. So, you know, what do I talk about? The thing that I'm always talking about is I'm trying to get the watchmen on the wall, those that study prophecy, to come to recognize, first, the Israel focus, the Israel centricity of biblical prophecy, and in fact the whole Bible, the Lord's whole redemptive plan, and then out of that to also acknowledge that the Antichrist, his empire, and his religion are coming out of the Middle East, that his religion is in fact Islam, and that the Bible actually, despite its popularity, this view, the Antichrist does not come out of Europe. He's not going to be a humanist or a neo-pagan or a universalist or a, you know, a backslidden Catholic or a pope or otherwise, that the Bible repeatedly and emphatically is pointing us to the Middle East and the Muslim-majority nations today out of which the Antichrist will arise. And what's taking place right now with the Arab Spring is amazing in terms of the way that it correlates to biblical prophecy.
Well, let me say this. When I read the Bible, we won't go in where I was at. First time I read the Bible, well, yeah, well, it was in my outlaw years, and I was in another state, and I read it because I didn't have anything else to do and no other book. That was a long time ago, over 40 years ago. But But then I read it again after I came out of the world and the Lord saved me. When I read it, I wasn't churched. I didn't have that point of view of the Antichrist going to be here or there or whatever. You know, I had been calling out to the Lord, you know, to be saved, and I believe I did become saved. But anyway, when I read the book, it was all pretty clear. Everything that you're saying is pretty clear without an outside influencing changing names or saying this name means something else. The Bible is explicitly clear at who these people are, where they'll come from, and so on and so forth. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I do agree, but I think that these things need to be revealed.
You know? Well, absolutely. I agree, because when I'm also in agreement with you, I say that it's easy, was easy for me. I wasn't church, so I was able to see it. But the people already have preconceived notions in their head that have been put there. And so it does need to be revealed to those people. They're just like, you know, I don't know how to put it. They're blind, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, Dan, and again, you know, a lot of these very popular prophecy teachers, I have really the utmost respect for so many of them. But what I find is that oftentimes many students of Bible prophecy, they tend to be amazing students of their teachers. But not often amazing students of Scripture. And so oftentimes they tend to, you know, read prophecy books. And it's not to say that they're not studying Scripture, but they do tend to follow men. And this is, you know, it's just the natural tendency, I would say,
right,
of men in general. But there's one particular, you know, prophecy teacher that has really, you know, almost been obsessed with critiquing some of the stuff that I'm presenting over the years, and in one of his critiques, you know, he really warns his readers to beware of Lone Ranger ideas, and, you know, he sort of presents the Islamic end time, the Islamic Antichrist position as if it's really only held by a couple individuals. Well, the fact of the matter is, in my new book, I point out the fact that, and as I just pointed out, that from the earliest days of the early church, The early believers were looking for the Antichrist to come out of the region of ancient Syria, which is modern-day Turkey, Syria, and Iraq, that region. So going all the way back to the second century, we had Hippolytus. He was a disciple of Irenaeus, that was a disciple of Polycarp, who was a disciple of the Apostle John. You know, these guys, they certainly were not perfect, but they were a lot closer to the fountain than we are.
Sure.
And then you had, again, Lactantius, you had Victorinus, Jerome. Now, these guys didn't get the full picture, of course, but they had significant parts of it. And then up in modern times, I point out individuals such as F.F. Bruce. F.F. Bruce was one of the greatest Bible scholars of the last century. You had G.H. Lang. My book, this time around, received an endorsement from Walter Kaiser, Jr., He was the president emeritus of Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary in Massachusetts. He's a living legend among theologians today. And, you know, he wholeheartedly has endorsed the book. Chuck Missler, another, you know, very well-known prophecy teacher. So you've got guys coming out of the woodwork, both on the popular prophecy teacher level as well as on the legitimate scholarly level. And they're saying this position has very solid biblical merit.
So, well, amen.
You know, there's a lot of people getting on board. The Lord's opening people's eyes. And all I ask is that people would give it a chance. They would take a look at it. They would open the Scriptures, look at the Scriptures, and consider these things, you know, in a humble fashion, but as good Bereans. And I believe the Lord will continue to reveal this to His church in the days to come.
Well, absolutely, and it will through works like yours. I remember before how I met you, I had read God's War on Terror first, and, you know, I found you and Wallace Shubat at the same time, and I was just mystified what that book said. And then you gave me a couple of DVDs, and then you wrote the book, The Islamic Antichrist. And still, folks, by far, I haven't got to finish the new book yet. We won't go into that, but The Islamic Antichrist, by far, is the number one book that you need to understand this. Now, probably this new book is, too. I just can't say it because I took the book with me to church, and I was supposed to read it last night, and I left it with me at church 60 miles away, so I'm kind of shooting in the dark over that. But, Joel, let me say this. You know, you mentioned something earlier in your program. You said that when Yeshua returns, he's going to be fighting against the Syrians. That concept right there of him actually fighting against the Syrians goes against what mainstream Christianity mostly says, that when he returns, that he's just going to zap them all with his eyes and they're going to fall down dead. And so you see the different concept I'm talking about?
You know, yeah, exactly. He just kind of comes back and snaps his fingers, and immediately all of his enemies are destroyed. But it's interesting that, you know, even when you look at Revelation 19, it says that, you know, this rider on the horse comes bursting forth out of heaven, and then it says, in righteousness does he judge and make war. I mean, right there it says that he makes war, and then, of course, you have the famous passage in Isaiah 63, where, you know, Isaiah is looking out from Jerusalem, he's looking east, and he says, who is this, robed in splendor, striding forward in the greatness of his strength? He sees this mighty individual marching toward Jerusalem, and his robes are soaked with blood. And then it says, who is this? And he responds, this figure responds, he says, it is I, mighty to save, speaking, you know, forth in righteousness. And then the prophet says, why are your robes soaked with blood? And he says, literally, because I have trodden down my enemies, and their lifeblood spattered my garments, to where he's literally soaked in the blood of the enemies of his enemies and the enemies of his people. And these type of pictures of the Messiah, again, it's a poetic picture, but it's pointing to a very literal reality. They're throughout the prophets. And unfortunately, too much of the church today is, I'll say, Old Testament illiterate. They read the New Testament. They touch the Old Testament occasionally, but if they were to really park themselves in the prophets and get to know just this beautiful, amazing foundational portion of the book, they would see that this concept of the Messiah coming back, and again over a very brief period, executing vengeance on behalf of his people, the theme is everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to go to break in about 30 seconds, Joel, so why don't you tell us where everybody can find that wonderful book, and they can read it as I'll read it. The Beast, what is the name of it?
The Mideast Beast. The best place right now is just go to my website. That's joelstrumpet.com, and I'll give you a price as good as anybody will give you with taxes and shipping included, and I'll sign it for you. I'll package it myself and send it out first thing.
Yeah,
in the morning.
Amen. Hey, that's a personal touch. You can't beat that by the prophet or by the artist himself. So, folks, make sure you get the book. It's not even on Amazon yet. So, folks, we'll be right back in 3 minutes with more Joel.
Pastor Dan will be right back. Whether using your cell phone for business or staying in touch with family, your cell phone use is increasing. Use the Wave Shield, developed for ultimate cellular protection. The Wave Shield blocks, reduces, and deflects up to 97% of the radiation from entering the soft tissue of your ear. The Wave Shield, made of a patented mesh material, is proven and tested to block radiation without affecting reception. Order your Wave Shield today for only $19.95.
Did he just say $19.95? Hey, times are tough, so American Voice Radio Network is cutting the price to $17.95. That's right, $17.95 plus mailing. You can protect yourself, family, and friends from cell phone danger to your inner ear. $17.95 at theamericanvoice.com. That's the superstore at theamericanvoice.com. $17.95 plus mailing. Order now.
Food prices going up. Homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a K-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on American Voice Radio Network. Folks, I would ask that you consider a donation tonight for the Father's Mission Church in Wichita, Kansas. It's summertime, and as more people go driving or they get ready to plan vacations and things, you know, usually we don't get people the 10% that people send to their churches. They give us the offerings. And anyway, and so offerings always go down in the summertime. I'm not complaining. I want everybody to go out and do things with their family or whatever is needed. But we count on every last cent that comes in. So any size donation would help. Something I want to point out tonight is that other than just giving, like, over-the-counter medications, you know, I do a lot of other things. Like, I put together knife wounds, all sorts of cuts, abrasions. Some of those that do go to the emergency room, many times they come back and like Tuesday and said, Pastor Dan, can you take my stitches or staples out? And so, you know, I have to take staples. I took 20-some staples out of this guy's arm the other day. I take stitches out. I do all kinds of things. And so when you ask, well, what do you do? What, you know, what don't I do? And so just pray about it. I can really use your support. You can donate online by PayPal or send a check or money order. And remember, we don't sell anything, so we account on these donations to do it. Anyway, or you can send a check or money order. Just go to prophecyhour.com for that information. If you need to, you can also call me for that information at 620-878-4682. Or you can email me. Or you can call my cell phone. There's three different ways. 316-619-4886. And this is important. If you want a mailed thank you note, like in the postal service for donating online, we'll send you a thank you note for that electronic donation in the mail. If that's what you choose, you just got to let us know. Make sure you point it out, and one will be sent. All donations that come in the mail will automatically get a thank you note for your records. I was told to tell you that. Anyway, We're now back with a very important program. We're talking with Joel Richardson, and we're talking about his new book, which is what, Joel?
It's a Mideast Beast, the Scriptural Case for an Islamic Antichrist.
I figured you could say it better than me. Anyway, let's go on second part of the program. Let's go into why is it so important that they read this book. I believe it's highly important. Everything else I saw that you've written, speaking of which, folks, if you do not like to read, and I know a lot of you out there don't read very much, Joel has some super great DVDs at his website. You still got all those, right?
I do. As a matter of fact, I think there's one. I don't know that we've even talked about it because I don't know that I promoted it much, but the newest one I have is called The Return is Near, and I have a whole hour in that one where I do talk about the video from Iran, the documentary where they're talking about the coming of the Mahdi, and I walk through it and just talk about all the different things that they're calling for and so forth. It's pretty fascinating.
Well, really, no. I noticed that when I went over there to your website, and I have it written down here. I was going to ask you because I didn't know if it said DVD on it or not. I would like to see that. Folks, every one of his DVDs that I've seen are, you know, they're very explanatory. You can simply do it. It has charts and different things. You really should get them. And, you know, that's an addition to the book. I mean, you want a real concise study, and I'm not just trying to make Joel rich because he's not going to get rich off my program. But these are really important. You need to get them and share with your family. DVDs are great when you sit down in front of the TV set and your family's all sitting around and say, well, hey, let's watch this for a little while. Okay, I'm done talking. You can talk now.
So in terms of the new book, so here's the way that I would say it, Dan, is Islamic Antichrist, I mean, it's become a New York Times bestseller. It's one of these books that so many people have read, they find it fascinating, and they tell other people to read it. So it's done really well. What it's primarily dealing with is what do Muslims believe about the end of the age, what does their eschatology, their end times stuff teach, and then I compare that to the Bible. And so it makes for some really fascinating reading, and you know, everybody's just has a lot of wow moments. And I begin to introduce the idea that, in fact, Islam is the religion of the Antichrist. Well, again, and I initially wrote that book in 2000, started writing in 2003, finished it in 2004, and then self-published it in 2006. Well, then WorldNet Daily picked it back up in 2009. So, you know, it's been around for a while, and since that time, you've had a lot of the prophecy teachers that have been around for a while that have called into question the theory. And so the purpose of Mideast Beast is to simply lay out a very systematic scriptural case for this theory. So I'm not talking about what Islam teaches. I'm not really dealing much with current events. I'm just very systematically, very carefully walking through Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Daniel 9, 26, Daniel 10 and 11, Daniel 12, and then Ezekiel 38. I spend three chapters on Ezekiel 38, 39, the Battle of Gog Magog. So this is really a book. If you're a Berean, if you like to study the Bible, this book is a thorough Bible study. But in the midst of that, what we do is draw out a lot of prophecies that do point to current events. And so probably one of the biggest ones, and this is really a prophecy that a lot of people don't talk about, and I deal with it quite a bit, and I think it's essential. As a matter of fact, I think it's a chapter that the Lord is really pointing a lot of people to right now, is Daniel 11. So Daniel 11 speaks of the collapse of the Medo-Persian Empire, and then it rolls into the Alexandrian Empire, and then Alexander died, and after he died, his empire was divided up into four amongst his generals, and then they sort of duped it out for about 50 years. And as we came up to about 175 BC, you had this guy named Antiochus IV Epiphanes. And, you know, a lot of prophecy folks and Bible readers are familiar with Antiochus. Now, he was a bad guy. He ruled, it was called the Seleucid Kingdom, and that really basically included Turkey, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. That whole sort of northern region And then in the south, you had another guy named Ptolemy. And he ruled Egypt and then a bit of Libya and Sudan, northern Sudan. So historically, Antiochus came down twice, and he conquered the Ptolemaic kingdom in the south. Well, then in verse 40 of Daniel 11, it says that in the last days, these things will be repeated. And so what a lot of the prophecy teachers have done is because they go, well, that doesn't work, because if it happens in the last days, and if this king of the north, this last days Antiochus, is the Antichrist, then that means the Antichrist is from the Middle East. And, well, he can't be from the Middle East, so they try to really twist the chapter, and they try to add in a third character. Well, what I do, again, is I walk through church history and the opinions of just multiple scholars and commentators showing that that theory is really untenable. It doesn't make sense. But what we draw out from that, Pastor Dan, with regard to the Arab Spring, is that in the days to come, we are going to see the emergence of a northern alliance, again, a Turkish, Syrian, Iraqi, Iranian alliance, and then a southern alliance, an Egyptian, Libyan, Sudanese sort of coalition, if you will, and there's going to be a military clash between those two power bases, and then the entity in the north wins out, and of course, that's the Antichrist. So we really have a very clear roadmap for where this thing is going, and in the years to come. I mean, it's hard to know how long it's going to take, but we are going to see the consolidation of the northern, I'll call it the Neo-Seleucid kingdom in the north, the Neo-Ptolemaic Egyptian kingdom in the south, and then there's going to be a conflict eventually between those two. When we see these things coming to pass, we know, in fact, this is the Antichrist is right at the door.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that when people look at the Antichrist, you know, most of it, what could I call it, a fantasy or a fairy tale that they look at, you know what I mean, with all the 666 stuff and the stuff that's been put on TV, and now they're really pushing that Roman Pontus thing, you know, that the last pope and all that. But, you know, it's the biblical evidence just isn't there. So I think that when people do see what you're pointing out to them, and believe me, they need to be pointed out because they've been pointed so wrong, is that they're going to find themselves in shock or kind of spooked. Was you in shock or kind of spooked when you looked around and said, oh, it's the Muslims?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I came into this thing over a long, slow time period, but for me, what was shocking for me, again, this is after 9/11, I was working, doing email correspondence, volunteering, and what was shocking to me was I was dealing with Christians, or, you know, nominal Christians that were converting to Islam. So after 9/11, you know, I was used to reaching out to Muslims and talking to Muslims via email through this missionary organization, trying to win them to Yeshua. Instead, I was getting emails from Americans and Westerners who had been raised in the church, and they had read the Quran, or they'd been talking to Muslims, and they started converting to Islam. Now, that was a massive shock and an eye-opener to me. I began discerning this incredibly demonic, seductive spiritual force.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I began looking at the scriptures and as the Lord began opening these things up, it was everywhere, and I said, my goodness, how could we have missed it? When we understand, you know, you look at a map of the Middle East, you look at the nation of Israel, this is the epicenter of God's purposes. This is the apple of his eye. This is the location that Jesus himself is going to return to. This is what all the prophets are talking about. It's where they all basically lived, except for the exile in Babylon.
Right.
And we look at the nations that surround Israel, you know, in thousands of miles in every direction, it's Muslim-majority nations that are, by and large, possessed with an ancient demonic lust to possess the land and a lust to devour the people, to possess God's land and to destroy God's people. And then we ask ourselves, if we understand the context of the Bible, what is more relevant, the Islamic world or Europe? What is more relevant, the Islamic world or a decaying Catholic Church? And, you know, it's not to say that Europe or the Catholic Church is irrelevant entirely. Of course it's relevant. But what is more relevant if we understand the context of the Bible? And clearly it's the Islamic world.
Well, absolutely. If you look at it, and let's say if you look at it from the European thing of being in the Antichrist and everything, they would, the one major problem I would even ask those folks right now, well, what do you do with, if that's the case, what does the Antichrist or do with all these Islamic people that are not going to convert to anything else? You understand what I'm saying, Joel? What do they do with them in that scenario?
This is huge, and this is one of the main reasons that I spent so much time on Ezekiel 38, 39, because the fact of the matter is that anybody that really starts thinking about these things, they realize Muslims, if you're dealing with a humanist or a universalist antichrist or a Catholic antichrist, whatever, Muslims are not going to submit to that, and they go, of course not. And so what people have needed to do in order to make their theory work, they've needed to find some sort of a mechanism whereby they could eliminate Muslims from the picture. And the way they've done that is by twisting Ezekiel 38 and 39 to try to make that a separate battle where Muslims are destroyed, and now they've added this Psalm 83 theory. The problem, Dan, is that when you look at Ezekiel 38, 39, and I deal with this thoroughly in Mideast Beast, as a direct result of the destruction of the armies of Gog Magog, here are some of the things that take place. God's name will never again be blasphemed. The nations will come to know Yahweh. Israel will come to know Yahweh. Yahweh pours out his spirit on Israel. All of the captives of Israel are returned to the land, every single last one. The fortunes of Israel are restored forevermore, and then God himself is present, and all the nations will know that he is the Holy One in Israel. Kadosh, Kadosh, Bah Yisrael. It's the only time in all of Scripture that phrase is used. Numerous times you have Kadosh, Kadosh, Yisrael, which is the Holy One of Israel. This is the only place where it says the Holy One in Israel. The point is, Pastor Dan, all these prophecy teachers and all of these scenarios take those events and place that 7 years before the coming of the Messiah, before the coming of the Antichrist. It simply does not work. You can't say just before the greatest blasphemer in human history bursts forth onto the scene and gathers a global following, you can't say God's name will never be blasphemed again, because it's about to be profaned and blasphemed. You can't say that all of Israel comes to know God several years before the coming of the Messiah. You know, all these things, it doesn't work. And so it is essential that people understand that Gog is simply another name for the Antichrist, that Ezekiel is simply telling another... He's simply telling the same story from another angle that all the prophets are telling. When we understand this, then it makes so much sense. All of the prophecies begin to fall into place. It's so clear. We don't need these big multiple crazy, you know, scenarios with these huge wall charts to try to figure it out. It's a very simple story. And the reason we need to understand these things, Pastor Dan, is because we need to know what we should be doing now. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know what you mean about reading those. They're clear. That's what I meant when I was, you know, when I was talking earlier, was that when I read the Word of God, you know, it seemed clear. You know what I mean? I read it from the back of the book through the front of the book, and it seemed pretty clear. And it just didn't match up with the church. And that was part of what led me after I was saved. And, you know, I figured, well, as soon as I got saved, I needed to go to church. But I went to church, and it didn't match up with what the Bible was saying. And so I came out of church. But what should we – you left us hanging, and we got a few minutes. You said what we should be doing. What should we be doing, Joel?
Well, I mean, what we should be doing is we should be proclaiming the gospel. We should be reaching out to the lost. We should be crying out for the Muslims of the world and saying, Father, do for them what you did for us. And if we're teaching our people that they're just about to be destroyed supernaturally, that Islam, literally, and I document this in my book, numerous prophecy teachers say, oh, Islam's nothing to worry about. It's about to be destroyed. It's going to dry up. It's just going to be one more religion that just disappears very soon. Well, of course, you're not going to commit your life to move to the Middle East or to reach Muslims, because they're just about to be judged. And so you just sort of, in a passive, fatalistic way, you just turn them over to the judgment. But if you understand that they're not going away, that Islam is the greatest challenge that the church is going to face, of course, apart from from the Jews, which is sort of the Lord's final challenge. But we're going to pour ourselves out for the lost. We're going to love Muslims. We're going to give ourselves to them. And the fact of the matter is, Dan, and this is what's so wonderful, is that you have more Muslims coming to faith right now than at any other time in history. And the Islamic world is white unto harvest. The Islamic world is, it's like an evangelist playground. And, you know, if we pour ourselves into that, we're going to have an eternal inheritance set aside for us in the age to come. And, you know, again, when we're just telling people that Muslims are just about to be judged, wiped out, that's not going to encourage anybody to be obedient to Yeshua and to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. So, you know, that's the first thing. And, of course, in terms of the real issue, which is God's priority, which is the Jewish people, and you know this as well as I do, there's nothing more powerful than, you know, a son of Ishmael who was once possessed with a hatred of Jews, he was possessed with anti-Semitism, that comes to understand the gospel, who begins to fall in love with God's people. That's a powerful witness to the Jewish people. And in fact, I believe that the sons of Ishmael are going to be among some of the most amazing witnesses to the Jewish people and martyrs for the faith in the last days. And I want to be part of that. I want to see what the Lord's doing in the earth, and I want to get on board.
Amen. Exactly. I want to get on with the end time work. And I'm going to bring up Walid Shubat. You know, he's an amazing witness because he knows all of the right names and everything, and the ancient peoples and everything, and so that, you know, it made it easy for him to put it all together when he read the Bible. That's a pretty interesting story.
Walid is a fantastic guy. He's absolutely hilarious. He's a hotbed of knowledge, and in some circles he doesn't get enough credit. He has an amazing exegetical mind. He really surprises me, you know, often as we discuss scriptures together, the insights that he's able to draw out. And you know, he has a Middle Eastern exterior, and you know, to some of us Westerners, that turns some people off. But I've found it incredibly refreshing. And you know, if people can get past you know, again, his Palestinian sort of personality, there's a real treasure there.
Palestinian personality. Okay, I never thought of it that way, but. Hey, man, I love the guy. He's been on our program a bunch. And, folks, that is really a good book, God's War on Terror. And I heard that he did some editing to it, and it's a re-release now, I think.
Yeah,
but anyway, look, your books. First off, Understanding the Time, that's the DVD, right?
The newest one is called The Return is Near.
Oh, The Return is Near. Okay, see, that's why I asked. The Return is Near. Okay, so they can get that from your website.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think what I'm going to do maybe tonight is I'm going to go online and set up a special deal so that if people buy the new book, I'll give them the DVD at a really super great discount.
Wow, that's great. Absolutely. Well, what's the website?
Joelstrumpet.com. Joelstrumpet.com.
Okay, and the book is The Middle East Beast, the scriptural argument for the Antichrist?
Yeah, scriptural case for an Islamic Antichrist, Middle East Beast, and then again, The Return is Near, the DVD. I deal quite a bit with the Iranian documentary. I deal with some of the things we were just talking about, with Daniel 11, and also a whole session on just loving Muslims, seeing them through God's eyes, dealing with some of the scriptures in Genesis to get there. And it's a different DVD. I'm not standing up on a platform teaching. It's actually recorded, so it's a little bit different. And I'll give you a little secret knowledge. I recorded the DVD from about 1 in the morning to 5 in the morning one night. And I was sitting with a green screen behind me in a kitchen down in Florida, and I had a big old can of Monster Energy drink on the stool next to me, trying to stay awake because I was doing about 5 hours of teaching throughout the whole night.
Really? Okay, so it's a monster drink movie. Okay.
Yeah.
My son uses drinks that a lot. I don't like it much, but that's plenty okay. So, okay, your special deal, you leave it up for a couple of days because, you know, people will listen to this. They're listening to the program right now live on satellite. It'll be rebroadcast live on satellite again on Sunday. and then our podcast will hit tonight too, but it won't peak until about Wednesday of next week.
Okay. Yeah, I'll put it up there for at least a month. I'll make a special offer, and then anybody that hears this, and of course anybody that just stumbles on the site, I'll make a real special deal.
Well, that sounds great, Joel. Okay, have you got any parting comments? You got about a minute, and then your website again.
Well, you know, again, joelstrumpet.com, and I always like to take a minute at the end of the show just to, you know, ask everyone that listens and benefits from this program, Prophecy Hour, just to remember Pastor Dan. You know, I love Muslims. I've got a history of reaching out to Muslims, but my history is also ministry to the poor. And there's nothing closer to the heart of God than the poor, the forgotten, the needy, the afflicted, the oppressed, the addicted, you know, the marginalized, the hated, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, you touch the heart of God when you're just hanging out amongst the people. Like you said, you don't know a lot of pastors that pull out staples. So,
doing
a good thing.
I kind of thought about that, but you know, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But just make sure you wash your hands and.
Absolutely. I do. I'm real clean. I take care of everybody. You know, I know how to. I got first aid in me from doing it. I'm 56 years old, Joe, and I've been taking care of people for as long as I can remember. When I was in the world, in the biker world, did. Bring them over to my house, I'll beat up, you know, and I don't know why they always thought I could fix them, but apparently I did. And so, you know, I've been taking care of people a long time. That's probably why the Father used me for this. So.
Exactly. And so, you know, again, if the Lord blesses you in any little way, I would appeal to you to remember Pastor Dan in terms of giving, because, you know, you're sowing into something that's, like I said, close to the heart of the Father. And I just, you know, I always love to honor you for doing that. And I'm looking forward someday to get a chance to come out there and actually maybe spend some time with you out in Wichita.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We got plenty of time, maybe.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah, exactly.
No, we got a little time. Anyway, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for being on. Goodbye and shalom to you, my brother.
Okay. Shalom. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Folks, we must remember there is only one God, and that he is the Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Through him is the only way to the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. That's just, so if you are a believer, you have to be a blessing to others. How could you not be? If you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, how can you not be a blessing to others? I really don't understand that. Anyway, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help to do the work that we do. You hear this tonight, take it to prayer, please. And get this special that Joel's telling you about, and tell your friends about it, because you really really do need this to pass it around. So I guess I better get out of here before our radio producer decides to shut me off. So we got a little time. Oh, yeah, tune in to Mission Watch. Got a good program for you. With Jerome Kersey coming up on Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central on Mission Watch. Don't miss it. We'll pray for peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace. Until the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.